Danny, how are you?
I'm doing well, Vince. I'm grateful to be on. It's always good to talk to you guys.
Yeah, we normally only talk to you like the week of a Cardinals Seahawks game, so this is kind of nice, an off-season visit.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's so nice for the Seattle Seahawks or for Russell Wilson as they conduct their public arm wrestling match.
Yeah, and some of these new details I think are fascinating, and it's kind of opening up a different level of it, if you will. Give us your overview of how we ended up here and where's this thing going.
We ended up here because there's frustration on the part of Russell Wilson that they haven't gotten back to the Super Bowl in any of the past six seasons. Since this team made the shift from being built around a dominant defense with a power running game in which Russell was, I don't want to minimize his role because they don't win the Super Bowl and they don't get back to it the next year without him. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't asked to do the heaviest of the lifting. He was asked to make the big plays down the stretch of close games. And since they've shifted to him being unquestionably the centerpiece, they haven't gotten past the divisional round of the playoffs, and he's frustrated at that. And I think this past season, the way it ended after a very promising start, has accentuated that. And if Russ is looking at the second half of his career now and feeling that I'm not going to be satisfied if we don't get better than this, and how do we get over a hump in Seattle? And then that if we don't get over the hump in Seattle, I'd like to try it somewhere else. I think that's how we ended up here. Where we go from here is a great question. I get the sense that he doesn't want to be traded right now, but he wants them to know he's willing to ask to be traded in the future if this doesn't improve. And if that's the case, it's going to put an awful lot of pressure on 2021. Every sack's going to become micromanaged to see whose fault it was, mm-hmm. whether it could have been avoided. So there, I don't think he's going to get traded this year. I would have said last week there's no chance he would get traded, and I don't think that's necessarily the case right now. I don't think he's going to get traded this year, but there's an awful lot riding on 2021 for Seattle.
In that answer, Danny, you brought up something that I've been fascinated by for a long time, and that Super Bowl hangover, the way they lost to the Patriots in Glendale in their second Super Bowl trip, it was talked about immediately after. It was written about. Players on the team talked about the hangover effect. But you mentioned it 6 years ago. At some point, don't you just get over it if you're Russell Wilson?
I honestly think, Vince, I don't think it's the way they lost that Super Bowl stuck in the craw of a number of their defensive players, mm-hmm. and a couple of the offensive players, too. I don't think that's what's still going on here. Look, there was an extended period of time where guys believed they didn't give the ball to Marshawn Lynch because they didn't want him to be the hero of the
game.
Right. Like there was that depth of feeling. I think it's silly. I don't think that at all entered into any of the thought process, but that kind of shows you how they wrestled with coming to grips to that and kind of finding someone to blame for a catastrophic loss. I think this, what's happening right now, is more about Russell and his vision for what he wants in his career and his frustration that they haven't been able to get back. And honestly, there's some finger pointing that's going on of him saying, hey, I'm great. I've been great. We haven't gotten past the divisional round of the playoffs. What's the problem here? And then it's started talking about pass protection, and it's gone away that the way this has progressed, I think he's rubbing people, certainly in the organization, the wrong way, but I think there's some hurt feelings among teammates, and it's going to ramp up a lot of pressure, like I said, on this offseason.
Yeah, this is so interesting to me because the same Russell Wilson was once some of those hardcore dudes in the Legion of Doom couldn't vibe with him because he was such the teacher's pet and so favored in the organization, and he always seemed to just always want to please everybody in the organization. He just sounds like a different guy now. Has he changed from your vantage point, or was he always this way, just covered it a little better?
Yeah, I think he's always had a sense of... He's always carried himself in a way that is not the most relatable, I think is the gentlest way that I could put it. And there are a lot of players whom he rubbed the wrong way. And I think that came because he never saw him as peers. He was at the same age as a lot of those Legion of Boom players, mm-hmm. Richard Sherman and Doug Baldwin and some of the guys that have had, and he was always a a piece apart in a way.
Yeah.
I think some of that's the natural part of the position. Quarterbacks aren't part of the rank and file. Quarterbacks are management, but they don't really have any power over anybody. Like, it's a weird sort of space to occupy. I think what's coming out now is in some ways an extension of that. And a lot of those guys are pointing at it and saying, see, I told you this was there, the self-interest. I don't think Russ is wrong, though. I don't think there's a victim in this situation.
Right.
I get what Russ is saying. He plays for a coach who's approaching 70, is the oldest in the league, who likes to run the ball more than Russ would probably prefer, who freaks out about turnovers, and Russ would probably be like to be given a little less scrutiny over that after 9 seasons of showing he's pretty responsible with the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And this, the way that they've him going along and saying everything right and being the non-controversial franchise quarterback, which he's been, they haven't gotten past the divisional round, so now he's flexing a little bit. And he's saying, hey, how about you eliminate the sacks? Like, how about we focus on that? You haven't signed any free agent offensive linemen. Like, they've drafted a lot of dudes, but they haven't spent money on the position. How about consider that? So he's saying it hasn't worked your way. Maybe we should try some of the things I'm suggesting instead of just, like, nodding your head, pretending you're listening, and then doing what you're going to do anyway. At the same time, that's definitely out of character for what NFL teams like their players to do, even the quarterbacks.
Danny O'Neill is our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. I'm curious about the viewpoint of Seattle fans in all of this. And Bick and I were talking about this earlier. Even in the playoffs this year, after a 12-4 season, Russell Wilson had his worst game against the Rams, 11-27. Yep. Yes, he got sacked 5 times, but he was not good in that game. How much do you think the fan base puts on the shoulders of Russell Wilson in terms of culpability for not winning getting the ultimate goal accomplished?
Yeah, more now. Yeah. I would say that. More now since he's become more vocal, and that's part of what happens with finger-pointing, right? That it becomes, hey, protect. I should get some more protection. And he's right. They certainly could and should protect him better. He also takes, I would say, about a quarter of the sacks he takes are kind of based on the way he plays the game. He holds the ball longer than most guys. And I think that any explanation of why Russ is choosing now to speak out kind of devolves into amateur psychology. Mm. It kind of has to, because I'll extend it beyond what you just said, Vince. I don't think the second half of the year, I thought that was, I don't want to say it was a slump, because he wasn't bad, but he wasn't good.
Uh-huh.
It was the most extended period in which I felt he played average to at times poor that he's had in his career. And after that, he comes at speaking out. And I think there's a question of is he struggling with sort of the responsibility for that? Has he reached a breaking point because he felt like too much was on me, too much was asked of me, and it kind of caved in on me before? It's the second time we've seen it happen where they've tailed off noticeably in the second half of the season. The first time was 2017. They missed the playoffs. They went 9-7. They lost that last game of the year to the Cardinals when their field goal kicker missed another kick, and they changed offensive coordinators. This time it was kind of like the final 2 months of the season. It was that god-awful playoff game. And now they changed offensive coordinators again. So there's a little bit of Groundhog Day going on here.
One of the really interesting things to me is that Russ did an interview with Dan Patrick before the Super Bowl, and Russ could not bring himself to declare Tom Brady the greatest ever, and that was before he won. And he made it a point to say, I've got a plan for that, meaning he's going to be playing another 15 years, and he's going to be the greatest of all time. Is that a troublesome lane for him to be in? Because good luck catching a guy with 7 championship rings. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dan. You kind of want to applaud the effort and say, like, that's the kind of mentality you want in a competitor. But there's also kind of a sense of, oh, man, if that's the bar, like, that you're setting, and anything short of that's going to be a disappointment, like, this could be, you could be flying too close to the sun here.
Right.
This might be an Icarus moment. I agree with you. You want that mentality, but there has to be a sense of reality. Seattle hasn't failed Russell Wilson. Like, Seattle hasn't, they've had a winning record every year he's been here, and he's a big part of that. But you know what? The team around him is too, because there's some really good quarterbacks in this league that have missed the playoffs. Drew Brees has missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers has missed the playoffs. Like, that happens. So it's not like he's been given a hoopty to drive. And it's not like Deshaun Watson who looks down there and is like, I got this quarterback, I got this coach who's trading one of the best receivers in the game for a running back that wasn't playing for his old team. Everybody's getting fired. So there's a little bit of, I would agree with you, and that's part of where it rubs in your teammates. Does Russell Wilson want to win more than other guys on this roster? Does he want to win more than Dwayne Brown or DK Metcalf? When you start elevating yourself and your legacy above, you're kind of saying, like, my ability to win is more important than your ability to win, and that can be corrosive to a team.
Dude, you dropped Icarus and Hoopty in the same answer. That was really well done.
Great name for a band.
Yeah, Icarus Hoopty. All right, here's my last question.
Icarus Hoopty.
Yeah, that was well. That's range, bro. That is serious range. Okay, so here's my last question for you. We've been hearing that, okay, Pete Carroll's got nobody around him to tell him what's what, that he's got no one holding him accountable. He's 70 years of age. Where does Jody Allen stand on all this? I mean, if it comes down to it, couldn't she just replace a 70-year-old head coach to keep a quarterback happy, or is that not in the cards?
I don't know. I'm supposed to have a strong opinion for you there.
No, that's okay.
I don't know how Jody's going to run the team. I don't. I think we're all learning it. So far, we've seen very much status quo with how the team, the direction the team was headed when Paul Allen unfortunately passed. I do feel, as someone who considers himself very pro labor movement, I feel it's like a fever dream to be an employee and go ask to your boss, like, who's holding you accountable, which I think is just hilarious.
Right.
But yeah,
right.
I think ultimately it does come to Jody. There's been no inclination or no sign that they're considering changes. Both John Schneider and Pete Carroll's deals have been extended a year out. They haven't even gone into the final year of their respective contracts. Mm-hmm. Pete's always said that he sees a 5-year horizon, that he won't try to plan beyond 5 years, and that he still sees himself coaching 5 years from now. But if this is a power play in that sense, I have a hard time thinking that ultimately the decision is going to come down from above, that we're keeping the quarterback over the coach.
Yeah. Danny O'Neill, 710 ESPN Seattle, our guest. I got one more for you, Danny. If I'm the Seahawks front office, starting with the media tour the week of the Super Bowl, I'm pretty upset at the way Russell Wilson has handled this in such a public nature. I think that gets ramped up to the nth degree with the existence of a list that includes four teams that he was obviously leaking to his camp was leaking to the media. I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, where do you think the Seahawks front office anger level is with Russell Wilson right now?
I think this front office is probably at a 7 or an 8. I think Pete Carroll's at a 4 or a 5.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most important. Don't underestimate Pete Carroll's pain threshold for turbulence. Like, what we've seen from Seattle, I mean, you can have a fist fight between receivers before Super Bowl, and both those dudes are still playing.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
all
true.
Of the different things that are happening. Marshawn Lynch did not get on a bus to go to a playoff game, and that was the first the team heard that he might not play in that game, and he started the next week. So Pete's in terms of a circus, there isn't anybody that will tolerate more tense in the NFL than Pete Carroll. But I think there are people, and I'll bet that there's some dudes in the locker room too that are feeling this, that are really mad about the way this has been handled. I think Pete, somebody was saying, like, Pete's got to be at wit's end. I'm like, no, I bet Pete's more chuckling and like, oh, well, let's see what he's going to do next. Is he going to threaten to hold his breath until he passes out? I think he's waiting to see this work itself out. And in that way, actually, Pete's shown an ability to get the most out of players by, like, you go do what you do, and I'm not going to freak out about it, and I'm not going to try to say you shouldn't do that and act right. Like, all he kind of lets guys have their say, and when he's ready to move on, he doesn't hesitate to move on, but he doesn't let guys talk themselves into his doghouse.
Yeah. Danny, great stuff as always. Thanks for spending some time on the show today.